1 John chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray again and ask God to help us as we think about these verses. Father, we again thank you for your word. Father, your word is truth, and your word is what you use to sanctify us. Your word is the sword of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who has filled us, who has caused us to be born again, who is with us, who changes us. And so, Father, we invite you to be with us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to be with us, to give us attention to your word. We pray, Lord, that you would sanctify us by your word. Your word is truth, that you would change us, that you would move us to be a people who love you and love one another. And Father, if there's anyone among us who may not have the ability to love you or love others because they have not seen your great love for them in Christ, we pray that today would be the day that you awaken hearts and minds and save, Lord God. And we pray, Father, that you would be with us this time and draw us to yourself through your word. Help us. We need you. Father, apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we pray you would be with us and help us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We just finished our 2018 New Year sermons in November. We used to do those in January, but because it always snows, we do them in November now. And so we just finished those. We studied the Word of God and its importance in our life. And we love the Word of God because we love God. And we want to grow in our love for God. And so we focus on the Word of God that we might grow in our love for God and for our neighbor. Because as we get to know God better, as we get to know His Word better, we are then better equipped and shaped into the image of Jesus to then love one another. And we learn how to love one another by studying God's Word, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then we studied prayer. We express our love for God in prayer. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you love to talk to them. You love to spend time with them. You will not let obstacles get in the way of you being with them. You will make sacrifices to be with them because you love them. And so we as Christians, we love God. We love to be with Him in prayer. We love to spend time with Him in prayer. We love to talk to Him because He is our lover. And so we study prayer that we might grow in our love for God and express our love to God and ask Him to help us love Him more. And of course, how do we express love to neighbor? Through prayer. One of the most important ways you can love your neighbor is by taking that little prayer directory that has every member's name listed in it and praying through it by name regularly. Amen. That is love. When you pray for one another, it's love when you come on Wednesday night and seek God in prayer together as a body. We are loving our neighbor as we pray for our neighbor. And then we thought about the unborn together. And that is an expression of love toward God, because those who love God love what He loves. And He loves the unborn. He loves the most innocent, most helpless, most voiceless. And so we thought about the unborn and we express our love for God in loving them. And they are our neighbor whom we're to love as we love ourselves. And all of us are happy that we weren't aborted. And so we love our neighbor as ourselves by standing up for them. And finally, we thought about racial or ethnic harmony. And again, we love racial and ethnic harmony because we love God and we love what God loves. And God made all of us in all our different shades and all our different sizes and all our different backgrounds. He made people from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation and color. And He made them to showcase His creativity and His beauty. And so we love all ethnicities because we love God and we love what He loves. And we have neighbors, right, from every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. So we love our neighbor as well. And then finally, last week, we thought about missions. missions. Again, we love what God loves, and He is on a mission to save sinners from all over the world. And these are our neighbors all over the world that need to hear the gospel, and so we love them by wanting to reach them for Christ. And so, love for God and love for neighbor. And all these different focuses and sermons. And that is the greatest commandment, remember. Remember, Jesus was asked one time if you could break down the law into one commandment. One commandment, if you could break everything down, all 613 laws, all that was said in the law to one command, what would it be? And Jesus said in Matthew 22:37-39, and He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love for God, love for neighbor. And we're celebrating Christmas these days. We're celebrating Christmas. And you say, "I don't celebrate Christmas. I'm not Roman Catholic and I don't believe in the Mass." Well, amen. But let me help you out a little bit on what the word Mass means. Christmas, Christ. Christ is the Anointed One, the Savior, the Messiah. Mass. Mass is comes from the Latin word missa, which means dismissed, sent out. On mission. Go. Christ on mission. Christ going out. Christ the sent one. That's what Christmas means. You see? And so you can celebrate it. You're celebrating Christ the sent one. The one on mission. And that's all about God's love. That He would love the world so much that He sent His Son on a mission to redeem sinners. That we might then love. Like He loves. So love, love, love. And then we dive back into 1 John here. And we see His commands that we love one another. And warnings about not loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so let's meditate upon these verses together with the expectation that God would meet us and show us what it means to love our brother, our neighbor, our sister in Christ. Point number one, you don't love God if you don't love your brother. You don't love God if you don't love your brother. Look again at 1 John 4:20. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. It's easy to say, "I love God." It's easy to say anything. You have heard the expression, "talk is cheap." Talk is cheap. Jesus pointed to this reality in His ministry when He forgave someone of their sins. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then the religious leader's like, "Whoa! Who is this? Who is this who forgives sin? Only God forgives sin." And they're right. Only God forgives sin. You know who's standing in front of you? God. Jesus is forgiving sin. But anybody could just say that, right? It's not, "I forgive you because you've done something against me." That's not what Jesus is saying. We do that all the time. Someone sins against me, I forgive you. No, Jesus is proclaiming your sins against everybody and against God are forgiven. Only God does that. But anybody can say that. And so this man whom Jesus had forgiven could not walk. And so Jesus says, "Oh yes, I realize I can say your sins are forgiven, but what if I tell him to rise up and walk?" That is proof. That is proof. You'll see it with your eyes that what I'm saying is true. And He says, "Get up and walk." And the man gets up and walks. You see, Jesus does both. He talks, but He backs up what He says. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. It's easy to say, "I have faith. I believe in Jesus." But James warns in James 2, 14 through 17, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's easy to say I have faith. It's easy to say I believe in God. It's easy to come and sing songs. It's easy to say I love Jesus. But Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's easy to say I love God. It's easy to say I love God. But if you say that you love God, but hate your brother, this text tells us that God calls you a liar. If you say you love God, but hate your brother, God says that you're lying. And to persist in this kind of lying is a great danger. Revelation 21:8 says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. To persist in this kind of lying will have everlasting consequences. So I ask you, friends, this morning, do you love your brother? Do you love your brother? Do you hate your brother? Do you hate your brother? And what does brother mean here? Brother is talking about your members of Olney Baptist Church. The other believers, the other Christians. Most specifically, that's what this term refers to. When you see brother in the Bible, it's talking about other brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you hate other members of Olney Baptist Church? No, of course not. Pastor, I don't hate them. I just don't want to have anything to do with them. Well, actually, that is hatred. What does it mean to hate? Do you avoid certain members? Do you not talk to certain members? Do you hold grudges against certain members? Do you have bad thoughts towards certain members? Do you feel anger toward certain members? Friends, Christians are called to love even those who are hard to love. Luke 6, 27 and 28. Our King says this, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Friends, what a great Savior we have. I've been amazed at looking at Jesus and thinking about what He did in the Garden of Gethsemane recently. You remember He's in the garden praying and Judas has betrayed Him, and Judas brings the guards with their swords and their clubs ready to arrest Jesus. These enemies, these people who want to kill Him. And Peter, going to have none of it, and pulls out that sword and whacks the guy's ear off. And Jesus says, no, put that away. And He picks up the man's ear and He heals the man's ear. Can you imagine that soldier? You have come to arrest and crucify the Lord of glory, and one of His followers cuts your body part off, and Jesus heals this enemy. What a Savior. There's no one like Jesus. Does it just fill your heart with love for Jesus? And then He's on the cross. He's hung up like a piece of meat, beat beyond human recognition. You can't even tell He's a man anymore. And He's hanging up there, bleeding and dying, and still loving the people who did this to Him. Can you imagine loving soldiers who beat you so badly that I can't even tell you're a man or a woman anymore? And he's hanging up there. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What love! What love! Oh, Jesus is precious. There's no one like Jesus. And because he's loved us like that, because he's died for our sins and our lovelessness and our hatred and our grudge keeping and our bitterness and our, I'm not talking to them anymore, because he died for all that wickedness and sin and hatred in us. We're free from condemnation. And His Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, the same Spirit of God that empowered Him to love like that, that Spirit is in me and in you, believer, to enable us to love like that. To love like He loved. And so we can be here this morning and say, yes, Pastor, I have hated my brother. There's someone in this church, I don't care if I ever see him again. And I need to repent of that. And I need to ask Jesus to forgive me. And I need to ask Jesus to help me love like He loved that man whose ear got cut off. And to love those soldiers like He loved and cried out for their mercy upon the cross. Lord, help me love like Jesus loved. Because He's my King. And I want to be like Him. And I praise You that He died for all my hatred and all my murder. What a Savior. Friend, repent. The good news of the gospel is we have a Savior who can forgive us of our hatred and change us and make us more loving. You can't love. You can't love what's not visible if you don't love what is visible. You cannot love what is invisible if you don't love what is visible.
Amen.
Look again at 1 John 4:20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. One commentator explains this way. God is infinitely remote. So God is transcendent. He is wholly other. And he is far from us in a sense. He's transcendent. He's also imminent. He's also close and there with us and never leave us nor forsake us. But He's also transcendent. He's wholly other. And He's remote. We can't see Him. And yet Christians are all around us. Everywhere. And our help can touch them immediately. There are ways we can love Archie immediately. Archie McCoy. He needs our love. He's got nobody. He was a Jehovah's Witness, and he left, and he became a Christian, and his family won't talk to him anymore. They won't help him. They won't be there for him. Oh, friends, we have so many opportunities to love this man. And he's on my mind. He's on my mind because I felt ashamed. I felt ashamed this week. I'm trying to call all these government agencies to try to get all this help for my brother. Right? Get the PCA involved. Get these people involved. I'm talking to a PCA guy, telling him we're trying to help him. Our church is trying to help him. And the PCA, the government agency, tells me, well, your church is not sufficient. Really? Really? Jesus is not sufficient for helping a brother in need. No! No, I say no. I say no. They're wrong. The church is sufficient. The people blood-bought by the blood of Jesus, who have Jesus in our heart, we are sufficient to go by and see Him and find out how He's doing and take Him into our home to live with me if I have to. Jesus is sufficient. Mr. Government Agency, friend, let us be Jesus. Let us be Jesus to the people in need. Let us be Jesus to the people in need. He is sufficient. And so if we're not loving the people around us, what does it mean when we say we love God? It is therefore pure self-delusion to view love for God who is far away as fulfilled when love for others who are nearby is lacking. Have you ever met people who are so pious? They pray all the time. And they're always talking about Jesus and always have a Bible verse on their mind. But they're mean. They're mean and impatient. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. What? Get out of my office. I'm busy praising God. Don't bother me. You ever do that? Having my quiet time. I'm having communion with God. Shut up and get out of my life. I don't have time for you. You're pious, disciplined, prayer warriors. Sing praise to God. Evangelize with the best of them. But don't have time for people mean, impatient, angry. Praise God and I hate you. No. This Bible verse is saying that can't happen. It's easy to be real holy when you're by yourself all the time. Did you know that? We go over this in the membership class. It's real easy to be patient and loving and kind when you are by yourself all the time. But get involved in messy relationships. Get involved with other sinners. Get involved with other people who push your buttons, right? And what's in you comes out. It's not their fault. It's what's in you, right?
Amen.
We can't claim to love God when we don't love the people around us, our brothers and sisters who we can see. And there are people all around us made in God's image, made in the very image of God. All of you are made in the very image of God Almighty. You should be amazed at one another. Made in God's image. God has made all people in His own image. In the image of God, He made us. And therefore, we cannot say we hate image bearers of God and claim to love God. We can't. And there's an even greater motivation and demand that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we are being renewed in the image of our Creator. Galatians 6:10 says, "Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Especially to my brother and sister in Christ. Your love for what is seen, your brothers and sisters in Christ, proves your love for what is unseen, God. Your love for what is seen, your brothers and sisters in Christ, is proof of your love for what is unseen, God. That same commentator writes, "Even if someone goes through the outward motions of devotion to God, prayer, attendance at worship, and so on, it still may be an empty show. Jesus warned against a piety that showcased prayer, but shunned widows." Friend, we want the piety and what the piety ought to lead to: loving one another, sacrificing for one another, checking on one another, praying for one another. If you love God, you must love your brother. If you love God, you must love your brother. Look at verse 21 of chapter 4. "And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." And this is the commandment we have from Him. We've had this commandment. We had this commandment from God, right? Deuteronomy 6:5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Leviticus 19:18. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I was talking to someone recently, and I talked about loving your neighbor. And they said, well, he's not my neighbor. And I think they thought neighbor was they didn't live beside me. Neighbor means anybody. The way the Bible uses neighbor is anybody. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love people like you love yourself. Jesus gave us this commandment. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." And it's new because Jesus came and showed us love. No one ever loved like Jesus. And He's saying, "Love one another as I have loved you. A greater love has no man than this." And He laid down His life for His friend. Jesus came and showed us what love is, and died for our lovelessness, that we might be filled with His Spirit and love as He loved. Jesus, again, in John 15, 12 through 14, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." John 15, 17, "These things I command you, so that you will love one another." What does loving your brothers and sisters look like? It looks like the church covenant. You know the church covenant we read before we take communion? That the members have signed. They sign that dotted line. "I'm going to do this. I'm going to seek to do this." That's love. That's love. Finding myself within the relationship of the home. These sections: home, church family, world. I'm going to do all within my power to make sure my home is truly Christian. I'm going to teach my children the gospel. I'm going to have family devotions with my wife and children, with my husband. I'm going to teach my family to follow Jesus. With joy, I've taken my place in the family of God, the church universal, and its expression in this local church. I accept the responsibility for its upbuilding. And to this, I commit myself to wholeheartedly support this church in its local and worldwide ministry with my time, my abilities, and possessions. I will strive for the unity of the church, praying for, helping, forgiving, and being considerate toward my fellow members in Christian love. As Jesus purposed that I should be in the world but not of it, I'm determined that my love and obedience to Him be exemplified in my every relationship in the world, personal and social and business and political and academic, loving my neighbor as myself. I will seek first His kingdom and will strive to avoid being ensnared by the standards and values of the world. I accept as a privilege the task of introducing others to Him and will refrain from anything that would mar the witness of my life and lips. I don't want to give Jesus a bad name. And I am inadequate. I can't do this. I need Him. I need Him. The church covenant is what it looks like to love one another. I came up with some P words to what it means that we love one another at Awnee Baptist Church. Presence, prayer, personal involvement, provide needs, point to Christ, push from sin, pursue, and persevere with. Presence, prayer, personal involvement, provide needs, point to Christ, push from sin, pursue, and persevere with. Presence. We're here. Do you realize by being here right now on Sunday morning, you are loving your fellow church members? I have a brother, and I love him to death, but he's often up. Where is everybody? Where are the members? Where is everybody? Your presence here is loving your neighbor. It is an encouragement for you to be here. To be here, to be able to talk to one another. To encourage one another. To ask one another, how are you doing? How can I pray for you this week? What are your struggles in life? Can we meet this week for lunch, for breakfast? Could we meet and talk about the sermon? Could we meet and read a book of the Bible together? Let's help one another follow Jesus. Your presence is loving one another. Your presence. Prayer. Praying through the membership directory. Members, do you have one? Do you use it? Is it worn and torn and you know you love those reborn church members? Do you pray through that? God will use that to melt your heart together with other believers. Do you pray for members by name? Have you thought about coming Wednesday night to meet with us to pray together? Prayer is the way we love one another. Personal involvement. You know, I mentioned their needs. Their needs. Providing needs. Pointing to Christ. We want to point one another to Jesus. Remind one another of the gospel of Christ. Point to Christ. Point to Him. Push from sin. If we see one another going down the wrong direction, we want to talk to them about that in love. this is not right. This is not good for you. Please come back. Please turn from sin. And if people refuse, we want to pursue them. Pursue them. Go after them like you would your own child. Oh, I've been given a view of how much parents love their children. How much parents love their babies and pursue them and love them and weep over them and pray for them. Friend, we want to pursue one another like we would our own children if we're going down the wrong way. And persevere with. Persevere with. Like Rocky told Adrian, you ain't never getting rid of me. Huh? That person who says that loves you. No matter how bad you are, they see all your badness, all your foul-mouthedness, all your anger, all your impatience, all your failure, and they stick with you. I hope you have people in your life like that, that stick with you no matter what. We should do that as church members. We should stick with one another and love one another and forgive one another and forbear with one another and be patient with one another, persevere with one another. Those are some of the things it means to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love never ends. And so we persevere. Well, what is the foundation, the fountain for our love for others? I'm trying to do now what I just exhorted you to do. Point them to Christ. Point them to Christ. What is the foundation and fountain for all of our love for others? 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. And how has He most greatly, most beautifully, most amazingly shown us His love? 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God has so loved us who have hated Him, who have rejected Him, who have spurned Him, who have hated one another and neglected one another. God has so loved us that He sent His Son, His beloved Son, His only Son, whom He loves, into the world to obey and love like no one has ever loved. Healing the sick, making the blind see, making the lame to walk, forgiving sin, walking on water, calming storms, raising the dead, and giving His life as a ransom for sinners who deserve wrath. And He took God's judgment upon Himself. He took God's curse upon Himself. He took God's wrath and anger upon Himself that you deserve, that I deserve, and was buried in the tomb. But death couldn't hold Him. Amen. The grave couldn't stop Him. And He rose up on that third day, which is why we're here today. He's risen. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. And He conquered sin and death and hell. And if we turn, if you turn from sin, believe in Him. All your lovelessness, all your failures to love one another, sacrifice for one another, care for one another, forgiven. Washed away into His sea of forgetfulness. Friends, that's the gospel. If that's a new message for you, we want you to believe that gospel and be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I will be in the back afterwards if you would like to talk with me about the gospel. There are other Christians here who would love to speak with you about the gospel of Jesus. Come to lunch next door and talk about the gospel. We want you to be saved today. And once you're saved, God's Spirit comes and dwells in you, and you have a new heart with the law written on it. And God's Spirit moves you then to follow Jesus, love Jesus, obey Jesus, and love others. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ because Jesus loves us first and best as His blood-bought brothers and sisters. Did you know, if you're a Christian, that Jesus is your elder brother? Did you know that? Luke 8:21, but He answered them, Jesus said these words, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." If you're a Christian, those who hear the word and do it, Jesus is your brother. He's your elder brother. Romans 8:29, for those whom He foreknew, He predestined. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And Matthew 28:10, after His disciples had forsaken Him, denied Him, Peter denied Him, and He was crucified, dead, buried, and risen from the dead. In Matthew 28:10, then Jesus said to them, the women who came and found Him alive, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Do you know that you will see Jesus someday, brothers and sisters of Jesus? You will see Jesus someday in a way that you have never seen Him before. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Revelation 22:3-4, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face. You're going to see His face. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to try to describe it a little bit here, but it's beyond words to explain. And friends, knowing that you will see Jesus' face ought to empower you to love like no one has ever loved on earth. Knowing that someday you will see His face ought to empower you to love and serve and sacrifice like no one has ever loved and served and sacrificed on earth. I'll give you a little illustration of this. I think I've used it before. Young man at a church, and he loves this young woman. He delights in her. He can't stop thinking about her. He longs to be with her. And it's church, and they're at church, right? And church is over. And all he can think about is being with her, talking to her, hanging out with her. And he's distracted. He's agitated because he can't stop thinking about it. He just wants to be with her. And then her parents come up to him and say, would you like to come over for lunch after church? And he's like, yes. Why, yes, I would. And at that moment, I'm going to be with her all afternoon in her home with her parents, and get to be with her and see her and talk to her, sit by the table with her, hold hands when we pray over the meal. I'm going to be there with her. No more agitation. Look at all these people here to get to know, to serve, to love. Oh, the bathroom needs cleaning. The toilets need cleaning. Give me the brush. This person needs a ride home and it's an hour away. Fine, I don't care. I'll do it. I'll give my time. I'll talk to this person I never talked to. And they make me a little nervous, but I'm going to talk to them anyway because I'm going to be with her all afternoon. I'm free because I know what's coming. I know what I'm going to get to enjoy, and it's going to be amazing. So let me serve like no one served before. Let me love like no one has ever loved before, because I know someday every longing I've ever had, every joy I've ever desired, every feeling I've ever wanted, every gift I've ever dreamed, oh, I'm going to have it someday. I'm going to have it in Jesus, and it's going to be amazing beyond my wildest imagination, and I will be absolutely satisfied and filled with joy. And so now I will serve and love and sacrifice because I know who I'm going to spend the afternoon with. I know who I'm going to spend eternity with. I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And I was listening to some music this past week, and I was thinking, it's so beautiful. This music is so beautiful. And I know when I see Jesus, it's going to be even more beautiful. When you see Jesus face to face, the most beautiful sight that you will ever see with your eyes, the most beautiful and amazing sound you will ever hear with your ears, the greatest taste that you will ever taste in your mouth. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The most exhilarating sensation you will ever feel with your body. The most satisfying feeling you will ever have with your heart. The most peaceful, serene, restful thoughts you will ever have in your mind. The most joy you will ever have in your soul. The greatest strength you will ever receive. The deepest happiness that you will ever be captivated by. The most profound emotional and physical, spiritual, psychological, and relational experience you will ever have. The greatest love. The greatest compassion, the greatest truth and power and grace and mercy that you have ever known, the most alive you will have ever felt, a greater ecstasy than you could ever dream or imagine when you see the face of Jesus Christ. And all of this will only increase throughout all eternity as you gaze upon His lovely face. And so, as we long to see His face, we're empowered to love one another now by His grace, by the power of His Spirit, like no one else on earth. Jesus loves the ones who hate. They mock and spit and pain create, with devils evil Him equate. But haters He'd emancipate. He died and rose for those who hate. There is none like Him. He is great. Come, Lord Jesus. As the hymn writer said, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in Thee. Set us free, Lord. Come, Jesus. Set us free to love like we ought to love. Set us free to be the people we ought to be as we look to You. Set us free. And Lord Jesus, we want You now. We want to see Your face now. Come, come. We long for You." Before we sing that hymn, let's pray and ask God to help us see Him and love one another as we should. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are so great. Jesus, we praise You that You are so unimaginably beautiful and glorious. Holy Spirit, we praise You that You are powerful and that You live in us. And You work through the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, what we've just heard and meditated upon. Father, teach us to love. Teach us to sacrifice. Teach us to love in ways we're not loving. Father, we pray we wouldn't just leave here today and not be changed. Do something. Father, make us more like Jesus. Make us more loving like Him. And Father, we pray for those who may be among us that have never tasted of the beauty and love of Christ, that they might be saved. Oh, Father, be with us. Help us to sing now and praise Your name. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Come and take us to be Your own, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.